The music world took delight in bringing Mozart front and center during the bicentennial of his passing. That was 1991. And Peter Brown from Indiana University wrote an article titled Amadeus and Mozart, Setting the Record Straight. He draws us right in with this interesting juxtaposition. For the respect his works have commanded of musicians and the popularity they have enjoyed among wider audiences, he is probably the most admired composer in the history of Western music. With this appraisal, the New Grove Dictionary of Music and Musicians, published in 1980, begins its magisterial article on Beethoven. More than a decade later, one might not apply this statement to the Teutonic Goliath, but to the David of Mozart. Not only is this year, the year Peter Brown is writing, 1991, the bicentennial of Mozart's death, it also comes at a time when his pristine classical image has become the preferred taste over Beethoven's more extroverted expression. Turn your channel to PBS, where Hugh Downs or Peter Ustinov is narrating a Mozart special. Turn to one of the commercial channels and Mozart's Piano Concerto Kurzschlusslied 466 and the Little G Minor Symphony are selling Macintosh computers. Don Giovanni gives class to a Cheer laundry detergent. The Marriage of Figaro hawks the Scirocco automobile of VW. The Requiem's Lacrimosa seemingly sanctifies Lee jeans, and another piano concerto, Kurzschlusslied 482, perks Maxwell House coffee. The recovery of a Mozart symphony, even if juvenilia, receives front-page coverage from the New York Times. Dealers and collectors will go to any extreme for a piece of the action. Mozart autographs sell at the same prices as fine paintings. And dealers in one case dismembered the Andretter Serenade, Kurzschlusslied 185, retailing it piecemeal for greater profit. The Marriage of Figaro and Don Giovanni now rival the box office receipts of La Bohème and Madama Butterfly. This popularization of Mozart did not come from the opera houses or concert halls, though, its most direct beneficiaries, but from the stage and screen. More than any other factor, the Mozart mania of the 1980s was initiated by Peter Schaffer's play, Amadeus. It and the subsequent film directed by Miloš Forman did more for Mozart's case than anything else in the 200 years since the composer's death. For the film version, Schaffer and Forman revised the script for the new medium. Both agreed that we were not making an objective life of Wolfgang Mozart. This cannot be stressed too strongly. Obviously, Amadeus on the stage was never intended to be a documentary biography of the composer, and the film is even less of one. But we are also blatantly claiming the grand license of the storyteller to embellish his tale with fictional ornament and, above all, to supply it with a climax whose sole justification need be that it enthralls his audience and emblazons his theme. As we remember, Amadeus centers on the deep envy of the imperial court composer Antonio Salieri of Mozart's godlike gifts as a composer. Despite Mozart's uncouthness and immaturity, he produced one work after another that seemed divinely sponsored as they transcended his own personality. He was beloved of God, truly befitting the name Amadeus. Both the play and the film concern themselves with the most significant decade in the composer's life, beginning with his dismissal from the service of the Archbishop of Salzburg in 1781 until his death 10 years later. Though some of the film's situations might be plausible, much of it is almost a surrealistic distortion of court life and the life of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. Meanwhile, Simon Keefe points out the most fascinating blend in Amadeus of the scholarly and the popular, of Mozart the man and Mozart the myth, of Mozart's musical activity and the reception of his music occurs at the end of the film in the Requiem sequences. As a comment on how our constructions of Mozart have fundamentally shaped understandings and misunderstandings of Mozart's life and work after his death, it is highly pertinent that the Lacrimosa from the Requiem is the soundtrack's centerpiece at the end of Salieri's narrative. From the moment that Constanze and Salieri realize Mozart is gone, to the final image of the wrapped body in a pauper's grave, we hear the entire movement. Like the priest reacting to the end of Salieri's confession, desolate, with head bowed, how can we fail to be moved by the tale told, music and biography in harmony, as Mozart writes his own epitaph, a lacrimosa, day of weeping, after all? All is not so simple, though, as Mozart does not, in fact, write it, not beyond bar 8 at least, where Sismayr took over in real life. And so, Peter Brown asks, why does Mozart command so much attention? Perhaps it stems from the eternally misguided effort to understand the man behind the music. Although Mozart's music is often recognized as universal, it has received varying interpretations of its essential meanings since his passing. While one can attempt to set the historical record straight, Schaffer's and Forman's Salieri had it right on one count. The phenomenon of Mozart transcends explanation. Words of Peter Brown and Simon Keith, considering Mozart and the movie and play Amadeus, drawing on some of the historical facts. We are invited to be drawn into the mysteries and the marvelous power of Mozart's music, the Mozart Requiem. The performances will be by the Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic in Wilkes-Barre and Scranton on October 23rd and 24th as the continuing 2025-2026 season brings this masterpiece to our communities. Chasen Goldschmidt is the executive director of the Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic, and we had a chance to speak with him by phone about this pairing and what is still to come before the end of calendar year 2025.
This was something as we were planning this season and looking to create this candlelit festival of concerts all throughout the fall that are in this very intimate environment where you have hundreds of battery electric candles providing just such a warm and welcoming and unique counterpoint to the music itself. Mozart's Requiem came up as something that was, it's such an incredible work of the repertoire, and we haven't performed it as an orchestra since 2017, so this was something that had been on our radar to return to. And it was a balance also that came through in part because there were renovations this fall at one of our adored homes, the Scranton Cultural Center, where we will be back on December 6th once the renovations are complete. And so it got us thinking about different possible alternative venues so that we could still provide an orchestral performance in Scranton. And the way it worked out with us returning to St. Luke's, where we frequently have chamber music performances, but having an orchestral performance there, for us at least, is a little more rare. And it's just such a lovely space between there and St. Stephen's in Wilkes-Barre, where because of the slightly smaller size of the orchestra and the smaller sizes of those particular venues compared to, say, the F.M. Kirby Center or the Scranton Cultural Center, we worked it within our budget for the year to be able to present those concerts in both cities, which is something we're very excited to do. It's the first time in almost a decade that we are presenting classical symphonic concerts, a repeat classical symphonic concert in both Scranton and Wilkes-Barre. And so it's something we are certainly very excited for.
And I think the work is a fan favorite, even though it would seem like an odd thing to say. But the Requiem was almost a star of Amadeus the movie, wasn't it, or the play? That dramatic scene where the messenger comes knocking on the door and Mozart opens the door. It just makes the tales that are told about the creation of the work that much more special and riveted in people's minds.
Absolutely. And it is certainly a very integral part of the Amadeus movie and Broadway work. And there's such power and emotion that comes from the Requiem in terms of this final work of Mozart. You really hear all of the passion worked in with such intricate counterpoint, several fugues that take place throughout the work that really bring in so many layers of melody and countermelody and the emotive aspects of the words themselves. It's so deep and meaningful to hear and to experience. And it's absolutely, I would agree, it's definitely an audience favorite, certainly not just here, but all around the world. It's such an emotive piece. And I think it's one of those pieces that reminds us how much a symphonic orchestra and a symphonic performance can really envelop us and really speak to our own emotions, whether that be, you know, in the case of a Requiem, grief and sadness, but also hope and exhilaration and remembrance and looking at legacy and all of those components brought together in what is really a seminal work of the literature.
What about the vocal choral forces then?
We are so proud. We have such great choral partners here in Northeastern Pennsylvania, both with the Choral Society of Northeastern Pennsylvania and the Marywood University Concert Choir. These performances will be with the Marywood University Concert Choir under the direction of Dr. Rick Hoffenberg. They're always so amazing to work with. And we have four incredibly talented rising star soloists coming to join us. Vocal soloist soprano Jessica Lee, mezzo-soprano Inaya Rahim, tenor Dylan Crane, and bass baritone Sung-Hoon Han. And Sung-Hoon comes to us from the Metropolitan Opera, where he is one of the Lindemann Young artists there in their program. And not to mention, we also have a local organist and friend of the Philharmonic, Mark Laubach, who will be joining us as the organist for the Requiem as well. And it's such a powerful vocal work too, and so we're so pleased, as always, to work with the Marywood University Concert Choir on this. And I was fortunate enough to see a rehearsal a couple of weeks ago where our music director, Melise Brunet, was leading the choir in a rehearsal, and it was sounding just absolutely fantastic and magical, and I know it will be coming into the concerts coming up. Again, it's such an intimate candlelit setting for these concerts, and it's a great concert, I would say, for someone who might not have as much familiarity with classical orchestral performances. These will be a little bit shorter of concert programs performed without intermission, and it will primarily be just the Requiem on the concert. The total length of the concert will be about 70 minutes. And the one piece that we have, which will be just prior and leading into the Requiem, is a piece, a chorale for strings by Hanna Haverlitz. She was a Ukrainian composer who unfortunately lost her life a few days into the current Russian invasion of Ukraine. And this was a piece written, I believe, about 20 years ago. And it's just absolutely breathtaking and heartbreaking, and it just pairs so well going into the Requiem. You have this deep C-sharp minor chorale, you know, all this intricate counterpoint that just then flows so well into the D minor Requiem, and it's such a beautiful pairing that Melise Brunet has put together, which we think will be very, very emotional on this performance.
What's in the offing? What comes after these performances?
Well, we have a number of events coming up as part of the Candlelit Festival for the Philharmonic. We're so excited to be out in the community and having so many community partnerships with local municipalities, with the local counties, and a longtime, really incredible supporter of the Philharmonic has been Lackawanna County and Lackawanna County Arts and Culture. They've supported the Philharmonic for many years. They've made possible our performances at Scrantastic Spectacular, including helping us to bring back the full Philharmonic this past July. And they've also been looking to bring the Philharmonic throughout the community. And so we are very excited to announce a partnership between the Philharmonic and Lackawanna County Arts and Culture and the City of Carbondale. And we are going to be presenting a free string quartet concert on Saturday, October 18th at 7 p.m. This will be right in downtown Carbondale in Memorial Park, the little park right at the center of town. The weather looks good at the moment, but if there's any inclement weather, it will move in next door to the Hotel Anthracite. And this has been so great to work with Carbondale Mayor Michelle Bannon and the Lackawanna County Arts and Culture with Maureen McGuigan and so many other partners, including NeighborWorks Northeastern Pennsylvania, to be able to put this together and make this concert happen. And this is a new addition to our season. This is added since we announced our season a few months ago, and it's just such a great opportunity for us to be able to present such amazing music for the community in terms of this program. And we have a string quartet of Philharmonic musicians presenting three really wonderful string quartets of the literature. We have Mozart's Hunt Quartet. This is going to be a really great, such a rousing and fantastic work of the literature, and it's being paired with Joseph Bellone's String Quartet No. 4 in C minor. That will start the program. Then it will be followed by the Hunt Quartet by Mozart, which is his String Quartet No. 17 in B flat major. And then the program will continue with Fanny Mendelssohn's really emotional and moving string quartet in E flat major. So this will be with the Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic String Quartet. We have Emily Garrison, Ariana Capone, Sharon Gunderson, and Xiaoling Ping will be the string quartet performing on this concert, and it'll be great. Definitely come and enjoy before the 7 o'clock concert, one of the many amazing local restaurants and establishments in downtown Carbondale, and then bring your lawn chairs and bring your family to 7 o'clock right in downtown Carbondale. It will be decked out with all of our battery electric candles. We have hundreds upon hundreds of candles and twice as many batteries as well powering them. And it'll be such a great kickoff, we hope, to our Candlelit Festival this fall. And just it'll be a really nice Saturday evening. And it's completely free for the public. Come in and enjoy and experience the really amazing downtown Carbondale for that. And after the Requiem concerts on the 23rd and 24th, we then go to Lace Village on Thursday, November 6th, and this will be for a Candlelit Pops Quartet concert. This will be a string quartet performing all sorts of fun contemporary Pops tunes. There's going to be some Taylor Swift and Billie Eilish and Ariana Grande, and certainly if you're fans of Bridgerton, that's definitely the concert for you and your family. And it'll be our second of two what we're calling Savor the Sounds concerts as well this fall. We just did a really lovely concert at Montage Mountain Resorts, and that was an autumn tango-inspired concert. And both that one and the upcoming concert on November 6th at Lace Village, it'll be at 7 p.m. And both of those are premium table seating, small bites, signature drinks, and a cash bar as well. A little bit more of a relaxed atmosphere for enjoying a lovely performance and a lovely evening of music. And then after that, we have a few more performances in the fall. Friday, November 21st, will be a brass quintet concert at the Luzerne County Courthouse underneath their beautiful rotunda. This will also be a candlelit performance, and it will be just a great use of the beautiful acoustics there in that historic space, and a great way to start off the holiday season with some brass music and a couple of holiday tunes as well. And then, of course, we have our full-on Philharmonic holiday concert, our Candlelit Holidays, which will be at the Scranton Cultural Center. This will be on Saturday, December 6th at 7 p.m., and that will be with Ballet Theatre of Scranton, as well as the Abington Heights High School Concert Choir, which last paired with the orchestra at our work with WVIA on Palma, the commission from a few years ago. And so Abington Heights Concert Choir will be joining us again for the holiday performance on December 6th at the Cultural Center. We're very, very excited for that. And then that will wrap up our Candlelit Festival, and that will be followed by, on December 20th, we are having our first of two movie series concerts, and this will be The Snowman and The Snowman and the Snow Dog, two really beautiful short animated films presented live with the orchestra, as well as some sing-alongs with some special guests. So that will be at the FM Kirby Center on December 20th. So we're very excited. We've got so much in the works this fall, and we are also extraordinarily excited to announce that Mélisse Brunet, our music director, has agreed to extend her contract with the Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic through June of 2029. This is brand new for us in terms of an announcement, and we are just so excited and so incredibly thrilled to continue the incredible artistry and vision and imagination that Mélisse Brunet brings to our community, to Northeastern Pennsylvania. And she is just such an amazing presence for our musicians and for our audiences. And she's just an incredible joy to work with. And we know so many people come to our concerts and come to perform with us as well, specifically because of Mélisse, and we are just incredibly thrilled and honored to have her continue with us for more artistry all the way through at least the 28-29 season.
Couldn't be better, Chasen. And thank you for sharing it with our listeners. I know they'll appreciate getting to hear it from you hot off the presses.
Absolutely. And we do hope you join us. These upcoming concerts are certainly going to be a great celebration of Melissa's incredible artistry with us, as well as her 10 years with the Philharmonic. She started with us as an assistant conductor and eventually rose to become our treasured music director. And so this season, our 25-26 season, is the 10th year that she's been with us. And we're so looking forward to many more years with her at the helm. And we're just so excited for everyone and all of the community support in terms of those who attend our concerts and those who support our orchestra that has made this possible in terms of these creative concerts like the Candlelit Requiem and such incredible artistry from our musicians and from our music director. That's only possible because of the community support that we receive and because of the strong local support for the arts that supports not just our organization, but the amazing WVIA as well and so many other incredible arts organizations here in northeastern Pennsylvania. So we do hope you join us for these upcoming concerts, and including the Mozart Requiem on Thursday, October 23rd at 7 p.m. at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in Wilkes-Barre, and Friday, October 24th at 7 p.m. at St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Scranton. And these concerts are also in memory of a longtime supporter of the Philharmonic, John Magagna, who was very beloved here with the whole Philharmonic family and one of our many really incredible supporters who've allowed the Philharmonic to endure as it has. So we're very excited to really celebrate all manner of artistic and community legacy and future here with these Requiem performances. So the concert on Saturday, October 18th at 7 p.m. in Carbondale is free. You can just show up and just bring your lawn chairs. And for the Candlelit Mozart Requiem concerts, that will be Thursday, October 23rd at 7 p.m. at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in Wilkes-Barre, and Friday, October 24th at 7 p.m. at St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Scranton. And tickets for the Requiem concerts and for all of the other concerts throughout our season, you can find those on our website, nepaphil.org, or by calling our box office, 570-270-4444.
Chasen Goldschmitz, Executive Director of the Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic, speaking with us about two important concerts featuring the Mozart Requiem and announcing for the first time that Music Director Melis Brunet has extended her contract through June 2029, cementing her leadership and vision through the 2028-2029 season. The Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic, under the direction of Melis Brunet, will present two candlelit performances of Mozart's Requiem. The first in Wilkes-Barre on October 23rd, that's a Thursday, and then again in Scranton on the 24th. The Wilkes-Barre performance will be at St. Stephen's Episcopal Pro-Cathedral, and the Friday performance at 7 also at St. Luke's Episcopal Church, and that's on Wyoming Avenue in Scranton. The Marywood University Concert Choir will join the performance, and there will be four notable soloists as well. The whole concert will proceed without intermission, and just before the Requiem, there will be a performance of the Chorale for Strings by the late Ukrainian composer Hanna Havrilets, who died at the very beginning of the war as Russia invaded Ukraine. The concerts are presented in memory of the late John F. Magagna, a longtime Philharmonic supporter. And for information about these concerts and all of the other concerts that were mentioned in our conversation with Chasen Goldschmitz, you can check the website NEPAPHIL.org, NEPAPHIL.org, and the box office number is area code 570-270-4444, 270-4444. Again, the Mozart Requiem, a candlelit performance, and that will be first at St. Stephen's Episcopal Pro Cathedral in Wilkes-Barre on the 23rd of October at 7, and then the next evening at 7, the 24th, at St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Scranton. For more information, NEPAPHIL.org.